This is Sarah Weymouth, and welcome to my podcast, where we talk about everything for you to live your best life. And we have a little fun too, from talking about business, marriage, parenthood, money, health, home decor, friendship, beauty, and pop culture. I'm a mother to three, a wife, a successful business owner, and I want to live my highest best self. Follow along as we learn together, grow, teach, because you only get to live one life. Oh, and I promise to dig deeper and to ask the tough questions. This is the Lime Podcast. Hello. I'm so excited for this episode. Literally, my favorite thing is to talk about goal setting, the new year, all the things. I am taking a podcast break. I wanted to just like enjoy the holidays, get into the new year, reset everything, get the kids back into school. And I was just kind of craving a break. And I've learned that like your gut is never wrong. So if my gut is telling me to take a step back, take a break, take a deep breath, take some things off my plate, then that's what I should do. So that's kind of what I've been doing. But I definitely think come like mid-January into February, we will be back at it. But I couldn't just like let the new year start and just skip over this very important and one of my favorite topics of all time. So I thought I would share with you how I roadmap and goal set at the beginning of the year for myself. Because I think there's like many different things we can talk about. I can give you all sorts of tips. I can give you all different philosophies on how to handle it. But I'm just going to tell you what I do. And it's kind of like, take what works for you, you know, take pieces of it maybe, and everyone's a little bit different, but here's what I do. First of all, I sit down and I look at my last year and maybe even some other years. And I just kind of think about things I liked and things I didn't like. What are things I want to bring into the new year? What are things I don't want to bring into the new year? As a business owner, we're taught to do this on a business level and mostly financial, right? It's like you're looking at the numbers. You're supposed to have X amount of growth year after year. You know, maybe you put more efforts into marketing, then you want to see how your efforts paid off. You know, maybe you made some cutbacks and you want to compare it to the year before. Maybe you expanded your team. Like there's just like so much to look at as a business owner on so many aspects. It's really not that different when we're looking at our life. And it's so easy to be like, whatever, 2024 is done. And that's kind of like what society teaches us. Like 2024 is done, sayonara, like this is a new year, fresh start, blah, blah, blah. And I love that. Like, don't get me wrong. I love a fresh start, which is part of the reason why I love the ritual of a new year and a fresh calendar and a new notebook and like all of that. But we can't ignore what we've accomplished or what we've been through to get here. So take a moment, at least this is what I do. I take a moment and I just acknowledge the hard, the good, the stressful, the stuff that made me sad, the stuff that made me angry, the stuff that brought me joy, things I want to do more of, things I want to do less of, and I just kind of marinate in it, you know? And sometimes just this exercise in and of itself is very eye-opening. Like maybe you thought you had a pretty good year, but when you go to kind of break it down, you go, wow, I actually have been through a lot this last year and I should give myself more grace. Or you might do this exercise and you might go, wow, like I'm so blessed. It was such a better year than I give myself credit for, you know, because we're so hard on ourselves. So it is a really powerful way to start anything you want to do for the new year is to go back first. So I always do that first. From there, I like to brainstorm. So I like to just start throwing down things I want, things I like. It could be a feeling. It could be a mood. It could be a vibe. It could be whatever. And I just start piling it on. Sometimes just brainstorming like that can again give you some aha moments where you're like, whoa, like I didn't even think about that. Or I'm really craving this thing that I keep putting off and it's been 10 years, like it's time. Or, you know, like, so it's good to just kind of get into it. And let me tell you, it should feel a little cheesy. Like, you should be like writing stuff down and just going to yourself like, ugh, this is so stupid. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you should just write everything down and just keep going and go, I like this, I like that, I like this, I like that. What makes me feel good? What gives me, a good feeling physically in my body? What gives me a good feeling mentally in my body? What, all of it, and just kind of start putting it down. And then, oh, let me just talk about organization really quick, just so we get that out of the way. Everyone wants to organize, clean, purge at the beginning of the year. Here's what I do. I'm a notorious clean freak, and I'm okay with it. And I don't really like when they have like those made calendars where they're like, January 1st, you're gonna clean your closet. January 2nd, you're gonna do the kitchen. You know what I'm talking about? I'm not a fan of that because, first of all, January is real life. Like, it's not like life stops. Work doesn't stop, kids don't stop, life doesn't stop. You are in real life. So this idea that I'm just gonna have, 4 hours free to like clean and organize all my clothes is crazy, right? So the way I do it, I make a list of everything I want to tackle because I'm already a pretty clean, organized person. I'm not necessarily doing the whole entire house. Like, for example, my car is clean. I don't need to clean my car. Maybe someone else needs to organize their car. I'm not that person. But there are things I want to tackle. I just organized their Legos a little bit the other day. That would have been an item on my list. I do want to go through my closet. There's some stuff in the laundry room I want to accomplish. Like, so I make a list and I try to make it small. So instead of saying the whole closet, I'll make one line item to go through the clothes, things that don't fit me, things I don't want anymore, things that are like torn or ripped, or if there's something in my closet I haven't worn for 5 years, I start to just like reevaluate. This is going, this is donate, this is sell, this is garbage because it's disgusting. We all have those items. We're like, why do I still have this t-shirt? And I start that would be like one line item. And then after I do that, then like another line item would be like organized closet. And then maybe I want to reorganize my closet a different way to make it more functional. I actually did this not too long ago where I got these bins that have a lid. And I think they're like for an office, but they're pretty big. And what I did was I just threw my stuff in those bins that I don't use all the time. For example, my swimsuits. I put all my swimsuits in one of these bins. It's really pretty cloth, gray bins with lids. So, like, don't imagine an ugly plastic bin, like a really cute bin. Anyways, and I like that as a lid because nothing gets dusty on the inside. Again, back to me being a clean freak. I don't like things to be dusty. I don't like to dust all the time. I don't need my cleaning ladies going through my stuff like that. So, it has a lid. Stick my, swimsuits in there because how often do I need a swimsuit? Like, we don't own a pool anymore. We don't live by the beach. Like, I need a swimsuit in the summer here and there and on vacation. Like, I don't need to stare at my swimsuits all the time. So that's the kind of stuff I would make as a line item to come up with solutions like that, right? And then you can slowly go through it. Like, one of my line items is my junk drawer. I'm gonna go through my junk drawer and I'm gonna organize my junk drawer. Another one is to go through my products. I have so many products that people gift me or I get for free because I own Lemon and they want me to try it and hopefully carry it at the store. Stuff my mom will give me because she'll get like she got like all these samples from Giorgio Armani and she like brought it with her and she's like, here, it's like just go through everything. Like, I did a lymphatic drainage massage like 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, and it came with like a dry brush. And I was like, oh, I'm gonna dry brush, and maybe I'll add that to my list of goals, but I never used it. The dry brush sits there and like stares at me. So it's like one of those things where I need to go through all my product, all my items, and just decide, am I gonna dry brush? Am I not? If I'm not gonna dry brush, let's get rid of the dry brush. It doesn't need to stare at me any longer, But that's like one line item is go through products. So I can just like sit on my bathroom floor, dump everything out, organize, clean, wipe, move on. So my recommendation is you make a list, make it small, bite-sized items, and then knock it off. And maybe your goal is you're gonna do one a day, but because it's small, it's doable. Like, for me to clean the junk drawer, maybe an hour max, maybe. Like, it probably would take me 30 minutes to do the junk drawer. Just dump everything out, wipe everything down, reorganize everything. I mean, I have those like organizational trays that, so that's already like kind of organized, but you know, my husband will throw something in there, I'll throw something in there, the kids will throw something in there, and then all of a sudden I have bouncy balls in my junk drawer and I'm like, what? I don't want a bouncy ball, you know? So 30 minutes to an hour, and I can do it. So like that's the kind of stuff I can fit every single day and make it a priority. So by February 1st, I'm like, okay, I feel reorganized, I feel purged. You know, I walk into my closet, I like everything. It's so funny because I keep bringing up the closet because I'm sitting in my closet doing this podcast episode because the kids are here and my father-in-law's visiting, and it's like chaos out there in the house. So I keep using the closet as an example, but I swear my closet is beautifully organized. But you know, it's like we accumulate so much, especially for me being in the industry, that it's a necessity. I also sometimes have a hard time letting go of something where I'm like, I haven't worn this tank top in 5 years, but I used to love it. So like, how could I get rid of it? So it's just having those moments for ourselves. But that's what I recommend with organizing. Also remember that, you know, organizing influencers and organizing companies that will do all the social media stuff and all like the Pinterest advice, they all have their own method. So you don't have to do it their way. You could do it your way. So maybe get some ideas and then go with the one that works for you, works for your lifestyle, and works for your space because it's different for each person. So I'm not gonna sit here and give you like all the details of like how I organize because it works for me, it works for my house, works for my family, works for my stuff. Like for example, I'm not a big shoe person. Like I don't care about shoes at all. So I don't need a huge display of shoes where like someone else might have a lot of shoes and they have much bigger need for a better organizational system for their shoes. So that's why I don't like giving specifics. And also, you know, take these influencers and these organizing companies, what they say as a grain of salt, right? Because it's like that's just their method of how they do things. Like home edit, everything's rainbow. Like that might not be your thing, you know? Like you might not want everything to be a rainbow. Maybe you want everything to be awful, you know? Like maybe you want your books in order from A to Z, you know? Like maybe you don't want it to be a rainbow. So it's like there's no right or wrong answer. It's just what you prefer and what works for your home. So I just say make the list, think of everything you want to accomplish in that world, and maybe it's cleaning. You know, maybe you want to deep clean the garage. Like that's a big task, but like start breaking it down and putting it on your list. And then from there, I like to make a list of New Year's resolutions. Like it's so basic, but I just like to be like, this is what I want to do next year. Da-da-da-da. And I start making a list like everyone does, and then most people don't stick to. But I do that list on purpose because it's a really good starting point and I can visually see what I'm gravitating towards. So for example, on my list this year so far, I haven't even finished, but like so far it's like I want to read books. Like I want to like read books from start to finish. I don't know how many books yet, but I'm gonna have a system in place. It's because I'm always multitasking. So for me, I listen to books on audio, or I listen to lectures, or I listen to podcasts, or I watch videos. Like I'm in my car, or I'm folding laundry, or I'm working on my computer and it's like in the background, or I'm prepping dinner. So I'm multitasking as I'm taking in information. And I want to be able to sit with a paper book, not a Kindle, paper book, and read it from start to finish. Like I don't know why that's been so hard for me for years. But that's like one of my goals. Another one is I want to start like journaling because I hear journaling is so great and I've never done it because I kind of feel like whatever, let's waste my time. But but everyone says how great it is. So I'm like, well, I should try it because maybe it centers you, maybe it gives you more gratitude, maybe it helps you understand yourself better. Like things change constantly in life. So to just analyze yourself once a year is not enough. And so that kind of stuff. So really, like, let me go back to my list. I'm like, what else am I missing? There's some wellness stuff on there. Have more fun with my fashion. I feel like I've been so lazy. Like, I don't know if it's like a mom thing or a tired thing, or like at Lemon, it's been very like go, go, go. It's very physical. So I've just been really comfortable and just wearing leggings and a hoodie. And I want more. So anyways, it's a working list, but I can start to see like where I'm going with it, right? Like a piece of me wants more of me time where I'm not multitasking, which is like the reading and the journaling and all that kind of stuff. And then like upping my fashion is like I should get dressed for myself. Who cares if I'm running errands? Who cares if I'm just going to Lemon for 2 minutes? Who cares if I'm picking up the kids from school? Like I should just do it for myself. It doesn't have to be a special occasion or date night or an event. So it just kind of like gives you a starting point is my point. And I'm happy to have shared my real examples with you guys because I feel like one, I have nothing to hide. And two, it's able to like give real examples with a real person instead of just like throwing stuff up in the air and like trying to give you random examples. And then once you make your list, you want to ask yourself why. So like, why do I want to read a book? You know, I want to be able to have the luxury of time where I can lay around and read a book. That's why. And I think it makes, you know, keeps your brain sharp. And there's a difference between reading a piece of paper, a book, versus a Kindle or a podcast or whatever. And I have many reasons why, and all my reasons are good and valid. But if your why doesn't align with what you really want to be, then you want to reevaluate it, right? So, for example, I went to grad school. And if I would have asked myself, why grad school? Why do you want, you know, a master's degree? My answer was, if I was being honest with myself, it was because, well, that's what my family expects of me. My family's highly intelligent and has many degrees. And for me to just get my bachelor in science in business is not enough. And that would have been my real reason. It wasn't for career, it wasn't for money, it wasn't even for my resume. Like it literally was just like a status that my family could say. And you know, when you come up to those conclusions, you can look in the mirror and go, I'm not doing this. You know, and after one semester of grad school, I dropped out. So this is why we analyze the why we have something on our list. And then from there, you want to look at what does getting that goal mean to you, which is kind of a next layer of the why, right? Because then you can really think like for me, reading some books and taking some relaxation time with just me and a book, that's me time, that's relaxation, that's self-care, might even be fun if I read a fun book. Like, God forbid I have fun reading a fun book and a fun story, right? So that's that kind of stuff. So it also will give you a purpose to your goal. Like, why am I doing this? And then how long will it take you, or is it ongoing? Now, this is really important because if it's ongoing, it can be incredibly daunting. So when someone says, I want to eat healthy, it's like forever or just for 6 months or for 1 month? Like, what are we talking about? And most people would say, no, I want to eat healthy forever. Yes, I might have, you know, cake at a wedding or, you know, have a drink and have an appetizer at date night, but for the majority of my day-to-day life, I want to be healthy. That's the goal. That's the goal. Okay, well, that's a forever, long-term, ongoing goal versus reaching a goal, you're done. So, reaching a goal would be like, I want to run a marathon. Okay, so your goal is to run a marathon. Once you run the marathon, that goal has been complete, done, put it away, put it on the shelf, move on to the next thing. So, it's important that we analyze those differences. And then, you know, so let me back up a little bit. If it is an ongoing goal, then you're looking at a lifestyle change. And that can be a hard pill to swallow. So what I do personally is I take it in small bites. So, working out. I started working out every morning. I would wake up early, work out a year and a half ago. And at first, I was like, okay, I'm gonna do it for 1 week. And then I told myself, I'm gonna do it for 1 month. And then I said, I'm gonna do 3 months and I'm really gonna see what kind of change I get in my body. And then I did 6 months. So it's like I kept, even though I knew I wanted it to be a long-term thing, I didn't put that on myself. You know, that would have been really daunting and scary and like, forget it, I'm never gonna stick with this. But when I took it in bite-sized pieces, I was able to just keep going. Also helps if you attach it to something you already do. So a really easy example is flossing. You know, you want to floss more. Okay, well, let's attach it to brushing your teeth. You floss, you brush, you brush, you floss, whatever order you want to do. I'm pretty sure you're supposed to floss first. Sometimes I like to brush, floss, and then brush again. I don't know if that's weird, but I'm just sharing. If that helps anybody, but attach it to something you already do. So let's say you don't make the bed every day, but you want to make the bed every day. You want your bed to be made every day. Okay, when you go take your vitamins in the morning, you also make your bed. So as soon as you take your vitamins, you have to make your bed. You attach it to something you already do, and that helps a lot. Now, I will say, waking up early to work out, there's nothing to attach it to because I'm waking up and I'm working out. But for everything else, there's always something you can attach it to. And then, if, you know, what was the other thing? I just want to make sure I didn't miss anything because this is a very important part, in my opinion. Yeah. And then, I mean, okay, so if it's a goal that like you reach the goal and then you're done, then what I like to do is just come up with a timeline. So let's go back to me wanting to read books. I didn't even think of this ahead of time, but okay, read books. Let's say my goal is 4 books in the year, which someone out there is laughing, but considering I haven't read a book in years, we're just gonna go with it. That would mean I read 1 book a quarter. So then I have to break it down. And like, let's say my first book is 300 pages. Then I have to tell myself, hey, every month you're reading 100 pages of this book. And if after month one, I haven't done my first 100 pages, I know I need to come up with a better system. But you have to have a plan. You have to have a timeline. You have to know what's going on. Otherwise, you are just going to float in this goal. And as we all know, many a times, we end up just not doing our New Year's resolutions by like the 3rd week in January. We're like, forget it. So that's why we have to have a plan, a timeline, and go for it from there. The other thing I like to do, which I haven't done very much, but I'm going to do more so, is share my goals with the important people, closest people around me. Why? So they can help, so they can be on the same page as me. So they can maybe even, we could come up with some joint goals together. And also, sometimes you just have to be frank with people around you. You know, sometimes you have to go to work and say to your teammates, hey guys, I love you guys. I love chit-chatting, but when I come to work, I really want to get things done. So could we be a little more organized? Maybe we can have some meetings to talk about some things, and then maybe we can go to lunch and have some fun at lunch, right? Or maybe you have to say to your husband or your wife or your boyfriend or your girlfriend or whatever, hey, I really want to make health a priority long term. And, you know, the way that you eat really makes it hard for me. So do you think maybe this is a goal we can do together? Or do you think that maybe you can eat that junk away from me and not bring it home into our home and have a serious conversation about health and wellness and longevity and just not wanting to die, like just, I mean, I kind of laugh, but like for real, you know? Sometimes people just need to hear our raw self where we're able to say, like, I really want this and I really want your help to get there. And that's really all it takes sometimes. After that, I really like to just write it all down. So, like, you make your initial list, and then once you start to go through the whys, like, why do I want this goal? You start to take things off. You're like, this was not right for me, or I had this on here for the wrong reasons. And maybe you add some more things. You kind of massage it till it's like your final, final. Then your final, I write down and I lay it all out. And it's something that I can revisit at the end of the year. It's something I can revisit at the half year check-in, which if you've never thought about that, there is an episode if you go back and listen to it about what a half year check-in is. And it kind of just feels official when you take pen to paper. I love it. Like, just put it in the front of your notebook and just use your notebook all year and just see how much life changes and be able to revisit your goals, but you never change your goals. That's a big rule I have. Let's say I make my list and then 2 months later I'm like, this was so stupid. Why did I have this on my list? Which could totally happen. I do not eliminate it because I might circle back to it, or it's just important to look at the end of the year and go, okay, I wanted that then. I didn't want that 2 months in. I don't want that still. Like, what did I learn from this? You know? And then if you like to do vision boards, do it. I'm all about that. I've never actually made a vision board, but whether it's like physical, like magazine paper in your hands, or if it's digital, I've seen people make digital ones, or I've seen people make Pinterest boards where they could just have one board that says like 2025 and like anything that like feels good, good vibes, you know, aligns with your goals, you can just throw it on that board. And it could be an ongoing thing, or it could be something you sit down and do all at once, and you're just like, have that visual something that you can kind of like tap into. I'm actually a really visual person, so I love the idea. It's just not really my thing. But I feel like I should point that out when I said lay it all out, because for some people, instead of just making a list, they like to have that full vision board. I've seen people do it where it's like the background to their computer. So every time they start their computer and they always see it, and it's like a constant reminder of like, this is who I want to be, these are my goals. Maybe it's for the year, maybe it's for like down the line. So I think it's great. I think that also helps with manifesting, which I think is great. I think at the end of the day, if you know where you want to go, you're gonna go. It might take you 10 years, but you're gonna go in that direction. So I love that. I also want to say that I like to make everything measurable. I would never say read more books. I would say read 4 books. That's measurable. Because at the end of the year, I can say to myself, good job, you read 4 books. I can't say to myself, oh, you read more books. It's like, well, yeah, okay. If I read one page, I read more than ever before. Like, what does that mean? Nothing. So make everything measurable. You want 6-pack abs? Okay. Let's give it like, okay, I guess you can measure that, but like, let's give it like an actual plan. Like, I'm gonna eat like this. I'm gonna work out like this. I'm gonna drink water like this. I'm gonna cut this out of my life. I'm gonna sleep more. All these things because my goal is 6-pack abs, right? Like, you need something more tangible than just, I wanna lose weight. And I'm never a fan of putting a number to the weight loss, by the way. Let me just throw this out there, because as you lose fat and gain muscle, that number could change. And you never want to be like disappointed because you made up some number in your head that doesn't actually make any sense. So I actually like the 6-pack ab things, honestly. If I was to pick between the two, I'd pick that. What else we've got? Revisit time management and refocus on the important things. That includes rest, self-care, having fun. I think that time management is so important, and I talk about this in the early episodes if you go back, but I plan my days, so the night before I'll plan my next day, and I just plug in what I need to do, what I want to do, what I would like to do, and I try to really have a good balance in my life of working hard, having fun, you know, doing things around the house, doing things at Lemon, doing things with the kids. Self-care, I've been much better at, which I'm so proud of myself. Rest, like, I think, especially as mothers, any mothers that are listening, we always eliminate rest. We will pick fun and self-care over resting all day long. And, or maybe it's a me thing. So maybe I shouldn't speak for everyone else. But I think a lot of times moms will, they'll make the mani-pedi a priority. They will make, you know, brunch with their girlfriends a priority. They'll do all these things, but then when it comes to like hey, you just need to sleep more, or you really need to just have some downtime. Like, read a book, read a book. And that all of a sudden becomes hard, and we feel guilty. And we're like, there's so many things I could be doing. And it's like, getting your nails done is not, you know, like that's not no different than laying down to read a book. So I just think it's a little bit of a mindset thing, and it tends to be more women than men, I believe. So it's something to just really hone in on and think about as you set your goals. And not everything is hustle mode, right? Not everything is I want to write a best-selling book. A lot of it, especially for those of us that are like burnt out, like myself, it is a lot about rest, self-care, having fun, enjoying life, whatever. And that's a goal too. But we tend to like not add that to our list. We tend to ignore that. We tend to act like that's not a big deal, but it really, really is. And then I like to look at the whole year and really, really break it down. What you want to do in January is not what you're going to want to do in June for the most part, right? So I really think it's important that we move through life, through the seasons, through the holidays with in like really intentional movement. I think winter is a really important time to, you know, be cozy and hibernate and just lean into what winter is. Winter is a lot about going within. I enjoy a lot more of my home workouts in the winter. I, in some ways, want to slow down, and I want to be more with my breath and my yoga and my stretching and my Pilates and, you know, a little bit more mindfulness in the way I move through the day. Where, like, summer, for example, for me, it's way more of like a go, 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 let's travel, let's swim, let's have fun. It's hot, it's longer days. Like, so I really do think that, like, planning your days, your weeks, your months, and really taking into consideration where you will be at that moment is super important. And that can be difficult because it can feel like, well, I don't know what I'm going to be thinking in September. And it's like, well, yeah, but it's like we can break it down a little bit. So we can have our goals, we can have our everything set, ready to go, and then we can slowly start massaging in some of these littler things of like what we want, for example, the rest of winter, and then reevaluate come spring and reevaluate come summer. This is not like a we did it, we're done, you know? Like, it's kind of ongoing, is my point. And that's how I look at it. And I really think that as soon as I started leaning in to the seasons and what they really mean, both for me physically, mentally, and with my schedule, everything changed. So I had to put that in here where you guys can really hear me say that me in January is different than me in December. And I know all of you feel the same way. And that's really me every month. But just looking at like the way my business works, I do follow the seasons, I do follow the holidays, and it does dictate what I'm doing. So that's huge for me. I also really like, if you haven't read The Happiness Project, it's an older book, but she really went through month by month. So one thing that is really fun, I did this one year, oh God, a long time ago, but I followed the book. So like, for example, I think in January, I'll have to look back. I think in January she did like cleaning, organizing, and exercise stuff. And then February was about her marriage and focusing on her love life and her relationship with her husband. And then I believe was March children, like focusing on her children and her relationship with her children. And it just kept going. And it was really interesting the way that she kind of tackled each month. And her whole purpose for this year was to elevate happiness. So she did like all this research on happiness and what it means to be happy, how are people more happy versus others, and was kind of like following that as she did each month. And then each month would like add on to each other. So like she would do January, and then she would keep doing the things in January and then add on February. And then she would keep doing February and then add on March. So I really love that too. If you're looking for something fresh, new, different to do, maybe follow that book and just do what she says and just go, each chapter is a month. So you could like literally read January and then do January and then you could read February. And it kind of just makes it small, bite-sized, which kind of goes back to what I was saying with if you have a long-term goal, like maybe your goal is let's be happier. That's your goal. Okay, well, this is a great way to break it down. So you do each bite-sized piece. And honestly, you can do this at any point. It doesn't have to be January 1st. It could be January 15th. It could be February 1st. It could be middle of the year. It could be you wake up on a random Wednesday in October and you are ready to make some changes. Are you ready to do some things and you know you have some goals? Do it then. Like it doesn't have to be like this. But there is something that our culture has developed with the holidays ending and the year starting that gives all of us this kind of like fresh start vibes. And again, I say lean in. Like, why are we, let's not fight it. That's what I do. That's how I do my year. And I always have so much fun. I also feel like lean into the little things, get a new notebook, or, if you want to make a vision board and put it up, on the wall, or like whatever gives you good feelings, do it. Like a new, notebook could be like $10. Like, who cares? But sometimes as adults, we ignore the little things that can spark joy. And I say lean into all of it. So if right now you're feeling a certain way, let's do it. Let's go for it. So good luck. Have fun planning. And I have to say that you can't get any dreams you don't dream first. And then you manifest and then you plan, but you really gotta first dream it up. So make those goals, let them be outrageous, and have a little fun with it. It's the new year. What do you want? Let's do it.